real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Well, we have just wrapped up our fall share here at Faith Radio. And as you know, we are 100% listener supported. So we do these share events twice a year. And each time I am just in awe of how listeners show up to participate in what God is doing here at Faith Radio. So thank you so much for your generous support. If you miss share and you still want to give to our annual fund, just go to myfaithradio.com, click on donate, and we'll be able to participate that way. Again, thanks so much for your participation with our fall share. Well, now to our show for today. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're playing a role, like you're acting out a different character at work and maybe a different one with your friends, trying on a different role when you're, say, sitting in Bible study and still another when you're at home? Well, if you do, which of those roles feels authentic? Which one fits into what you think God wants for you and for all of us in our lives? Well, my guest for today is a former actor by trade, spending a lifetime playing roles and adapting herself for her audience. And she says that we should be brave enough to drop those roles and be our real selves in Christ, no matter what the critics might say. Let me tell you a little bit about her, and we will get her on the show. Allison Allen is a graduate of the prestigious Carnegie Mellon University. She appeared in 650 performances of the Broadway production of Grease and many others. A former Woman of Faith dramatist and current Bible teacher, she speaks to women at conferences and retreats around the country, exploring themes of purpose, value, and identity in both original and unexpected ways. She lives with her family in Tennessee. Allison Allen has recently released a book titled Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Joe. It's a joy to be with you.
Well, you've written such an encouraging book, just kind of helping us all see that God has this story that we're supposed to be living. And for you, that story including acting. Tell me a little bit about how that got started for you.
Oh, goodness. I think I was dramatic from the jump. I actually remember being deeply influenced in the early 70s. I don't know if you remember this musical, Joe, but there was a musical that kind of swept the culture. It was called Godspell.
Mm.
And it was a redone version of the Book of Matthew. And I can remember that my dad would play Day by Day. It was one of the hit songs from Godspell. He would play Day by Day, almost nightly on the piano, and I began to believe that Jesus lived at the farmhouse next door to us in Katy, Texas. So there's a little bit of that dramatic imagination, like I said, from the get-go. And then from there, as we kind of moved around a bit, and then I would say my late teenage years or mid-teenage years, I started getting into community theater. And then I found myself at this wonderful magnet arts program in North Carolina called Weaver. And there was just an incredible director that we called C. And my life in theater really started to take off there. From there, I went into Carnegie Mellon University, which is more like a conservatory for actors. And then through a crazy set of God circumstances, pretty quickly out of college, I wound up doing the hand jive on Broadway for about 650 performances, and you know, lots of other theater dashed into that story. But after those years in New York were finished, I just felt like the Lord was saying this season in a way was done, and came home to North Carolina, met a very tall man. I roll at about 5'12" without heels, so I met this wonderful man who is 6'4" and loves Jesus. And you know, we started off on that part of our story, creating a family, and did some work with Women of Faith, and now have the joy of walking through whatever open doors God has for me in terms of sharing at conferences. So that's kind of a truncated story of the life of an actor as it played out in my own story.
Well, it's so interesting to read about people who have life experiences that are different than your own. So it's fun to listen to or read about the experiences you had as an actress and then be able to apply those to similar lessons that we might all be learning just as Christ followers in different roles that we have to play. And one of those recurring themes that you write about is that we all have a story that God is trying to tell through us. but we're not always willing to kind of open ourselves up to letting him tell that story. Can you talk a little bit about how that worked in your life? How did you recognize that God was trying to tell a story through you, and how did you kind of let him do so?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would have started for me, or I would have had an awareness of being invited to God's great narrative, or I call it the capital D drama. Because, you know, Joe, we have a lot of little d drama, right? We've got a lot of drama that is counterfeit. It's chaos, and it's pot stirring, and it's overreaction, and it's picking up offense. And I just happen to believe that God himself is inviting us to a capital D drama that he's the author of. And I think I began to understand that he was inviting me to something greater than just acting on the stage and play-acting my way through life. When I was about 19 years old, at Carnegie Mellon, there were, oddly, a group of really kind of wild and on fire believers in Christ. And I remember right prior to a show, this upperclassman asked me if I wanted to pray with them, and that was kind of odd at this conservatory. And so I went back around a corner and prayed with them, and it just felt like every seed that had ever been planted in me by every youth group leader just broke into life. And I realized at that moment, I mean, it was a slow work of grace in many ways, but I think it started there for me, Joe. I realized that God, that Jesus was issuing me this invitation to drop the brave act, that I had spent so much of my life acting and in many ways had become a better actor off the stage than I ever had been on the stage. And in that prayer circle and the, you know, the years that followed, he started to say, would you dare to take a step into the grand adventure of faith, the bigger story that I long to tell with your life? And so I would say, in answer to your question, it started when I was about 19, and I've been working and walking out that path with him and that narrative for the last 20 years.
Mm. Well, it sounds like your faith was something that was bred and nourished at a very early age, maybe with your upbringing or with your, like you said, your home church that you had returned to after so many years. How did faith play a story in those experiences that I'm assuming you had as an actress, where maybe you felt rejected or not enough? How were you able to keep going?
Well, for me, I'd back up a bit from your question to kind of take a run at it. When I was younger, for a lot of reasons, I mean, some of them are social, some of them are psychological, some of them are spiritual, but when in my younger years, partially because we moved some and partially because I don't think any of us get through this life without running headlong into mean folks, mean girls every now and then, I had some fairly significant bullying experiences here and there. And so My sense of myself starting at a pretty tender age was that I really, really believed myself to be rejected and rejectable and a reject. And so I had kind of taken on what I would call a false name, a false identity. And what's odd about the creativity, it's not odd, but it is amazing, the audacious creativity of God, is that he would actually use acting and a performer's life to begin to draw me out of believing that I was deeply rejected in my internal self. And what I mean by that is this, you know, the very first time you audition for a show, even though I was just in the ensemble and in the back row, I felt like I was a part of something bigger than me. You know, I felt like for the first time as a young person, my voice mattered and what I could bring mattered and the little bit of gifts, you know, the fish and the loaves mattered. And then as I began to continue with Jesus in that journey, he began to kind of knock on the door of my heart. And I was, you know, I was an older woman by this point. I'd already done Broadway. I had already done Women of Faith. And he started to knock on the door of my heart, and he started to say, hey, can we deal with that deep-seated rejection that you carry every day of your life? Can we deal with that false belief, that false name that you have stuck to the stuff of your heart like duct tape? And for me, it was really difficult, Joe, probably one of the more difficult epics I've ever walked out with Jesus was exchanging the sense of myself as being a rejected person and receiving the fact that his word says, I am accepted in the beloved. And so for me, it's been a constant exchange over and over again, because I know you know this, and women I talk to all over the country would agree, would assent that, you know, even when you stand in places that the world says, hey, that's an incredible accomplishment, or that's a neat achievement, or man, I'd like to be able to do that. Even when I stood in those places, Joe, I believe myself to be rejected and rejectable and a reject. And I lived my life either to prove that I wasn't rejected, which meant achievement, performance, you know, gold stars and A pluses to the best of my ability, or oddly, I lived my life to affirm being rejected. And I would reject before I could be rejected until Jesus came. And so, you know, Shine, the book really goes in depth into, I believe that God wants us to exchange, to participate in a great exchange spiritually, where we take out those things that we truly believe about ourselves when no one is looking, that are counter to his nature, his character, and his word, and be willing to say, Lord, here's the rejection that I carry. Can you press upon my heart that no matter what circumstances say, that I am accepted? And so that's kind of a long, long story, I know, but that's how the Lord began to get at some of the deepest work in my life and began to kind of truly deliver me from rejection.
Mm. Well, and isn't that true that, and I know women experience this, but I'm sure that men do as well, but that need to be approved, the need to achieve, and that we spend so much of our time and energy trying to get to this point where we think all of those things will fall into place. And anyone who's gone through any sort of feeling of rejection or achievement can attest to that fact, just like you did, that the only approval, acceptance that we are going to receive that's worth anything is that of our Heavenly Father. And we have that. We have it already. And so this constant need for this is really just something that the world is calling us to get, even though we already have that in Christ.
That's, I mean, it's perfectly, you said it perfectly. I just believe that we're under such assault, you know, the messages of the culture and even internal messages. Because when I talk to women, a lot of times it is both the things they hear from without, but it's also what they're dealing with, the critical voices from within, the pressure from within. And I just believe that Jesus is good enough and creative enough to give us a space to exchange those things and really walk in the freedom of his grace and really affirm that when we have him, we truly have enough. Mm. And so that's just a huge part of my heart as I, you know, whenever I get the chance to chat with women.
Well, today I'm talking with Allison Allen. She's written a book called Shine, Stepping into the Role That You Were Made For. We're going to talk more with Allison when we return on Connecting Faith. And if you're listening and you like what you're hearing, would like to learn more, well, Allison and her publisher have graciously donated a few books to give away, and we'd love to get those in your hands. If you would like, just give us a call, or actually email us at go to myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. You'll be able to submit your email that way, and that way we can do a drawing at the end of the show and let you know if you've been the lucky recipient of one of those books. Otherwise, we'll have more conversation with Allison Allen when we return in just a few minutes. Well, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, my guest today is Allison Allen. She's written a book called Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. Allison is a graduate of the prestigious Carnegie Mellon University. She worked as an actor on Broadway for many years, also as a dramatist on Women of Faith, if you were lucky enough to see her there. She also does retreats and conferences across the country and also does a little bit of writing herself outside of her book. She does some blogging, and we're just so glad to have Allison with us today. Allison, we were kind of talking about just this word that you had for yourself called rejected, and how Christ is just such a redeemer of those words, those things we call ourselves. And you write about just a great exercise that you do at a couple of your retreats where women need to write down those words that they believe about themselves that, of course, are not at all what Christ believes to be true about them. What have you found in that exercise and in that experience that was maybe a little bit surprising to you?
Yeah, you know, when I first stood on a stage, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and I believe I was in Michigan, and I had this wild hair of an idea. I knew I wanted women to be able to encounter God around this idea of false names and exchanging them for the true names that the Scripture has for us. And so what I asked permission of the leadership team, and they kindly said yes, but we just gave women some time to write down any false names that they carried, any skewed sense of identity, like rejected was for me. And then we filled the altar with the true names that God has for us: accepted, beloved, called, appointed. It just goes on and on, everything that the Scripture says of us, and we covered the altar in those names. And then I said, okay, I basically explained the exercise, and in trying to press upon them why I felt this was so important to make this exchange with God, was I shared something with them about praying in regards to the exercise. I was really, really praying, and I was saying, you know, Lord, why is this important? What really happens here? What's being exchanged here or transacted here? And I've never heard the Lord audibly ever, but somehow this was a little bit louder than audibly, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was so deep in my heart, and I felt like the Lord whispered to my heart, you know, Allison, you don't call your kids by the wrong proper names, and I don't call my kids by the wrong spiritual names. And that just stopped me in my tracks. And what it felt like God was saying or imparting to me was, hey, Allison, I'm never going to call you to the grand adventure of faith by saying, rejected, rejected. Do you want to come on an adventure? He was never going to call me according to that false name. Because anytime I got near to feeling like that name, I would run the other way. But if I could understand my name was accepted, then I might actually take a step toward this great thing that the Lord was asking me to join him in. So anyway, I shared all that from the altar and shared my own story with feeling I was rejected and exchanging that for accepted, of course. And then I just simply, Joe said, come on, come on. And from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest believer to the, you know, the gray-haired granny that had been teaching VBS for 30 years, they came. And what's been astonishing about the response, which is the heart of your question, I've done this now in almost every church or conference that will allow me to, which is most of them. And in every place that we do it, no matter whatever socioeconomic place that you might be, denominationally, age, race, about 80 to 90% of all women come. And I would never go into detail about what's left on the altar because it's so transparent and private and tender. But the things that are left on the altar that the women of God, you know, that the daughters of the King secretly carry and secretly believe would take your breath away. I never fail to just stand there and weep at what we carry, where no one can see. And what I love about Jesus is he's always saying, you can spit the poison out, just like, you know, just like the angel did to Jacob. I mean, there's a precedent for this, even in the Scripture. You know, they're wrestling all night. And you know, Jacob says, I want a blessing. And the angel says, oh, good, I want a name. Tell me who you really think you are. And he spits it out and basically says, I'm a deceiver. I'm a manipulator. That's what his name means. And then the angel says, actually, you're Israel. You know, and so there is a scriptural precedent for bringing something and receiving something different, no differently than when we give our hearts to Christ. It's so Of all the things I've ever done, there has never been a role I have played, there's never been a show I've been a part of that has ever meant more to me than seeing the daughters of the king come down and leave that pain on the altar and pick up promise.
Well, and as I was reading that, I was just thinking about a conversation I had with one of my childhood friends who was just visiting a few weeks ago, and we were talking about all of those things that we believed about ourselves based on what we heard when we were 10, 11, 15 years old, and here we are, women approaching our 50s, and we are still believing some of those, whether it was kids, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, just some kid in our class who said something about us that we still hold a little bit in our heart, even knowing that our lives have been so different from that point on. We seem to keep those negative thoughts and those negative words that reside in our hearts. And it just made us, we were just talking about how important it is to be going into God's word every day and to have strong people in your life who are trying to right that wrong, and how difficult it is, even as women who are faithful to God.
Absolutely. I don't want to misquote, but I remember reading an article. Gosh, I don't even know where it was from, Joe. You may know these statistics, but I think you have to hear like a positive thing something like 7 to 10 times for every negative thing you hear. And so I think that's why those painful words, those labels, those you know, the bullying, the meanness that we experience, or even the criticism, I think that's why that's so much more sticky, you know, to our hearts and our minds and our souls. And what I love about Jesus, and he's just endlessly good and endlessly creative and always longing to converse with us around those things, is that he gives us a space to spit that poison out and to spit the truth out, kind of like the woman at the well, you know, when he sat down with her in the heat of the day, in the middle of her shame. She's avoidant of people, and he basically says to her, if you look at the whole thing, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's get down to the real stuff that's rolling around the bottom of your heart and soul. And, of course, you know, we know what happens, and she does. And then at the end of the whole story, she's running to the town to say, you know, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the Messiah? You know, and so I just believe God is always saying there's more. There's more healing work. I think in my own life, the healing of Christ, I would say almost emotional redemption, if you will, has been like an onion. It's been a layer at a time. Yeah. And I think it's because if he did everything that I, if he addressed everything I carried at one time, I think I might implode. But in his goodness and his liberty and his grace, he knows exactly when to hit the thing.
We have to take a hard break in about 20 seconds. So I'm talking with Allison Allen today and her book, Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. We're going to be right back in just a couple of minutes on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Joe Bender, and just thrilled to be talking to Allison Allen today. She has written a book called Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. Maybe you have at times been walking through a role that is not your own, or trying to fit into a role that maybe could be yours. Well, what does God have in store for you, and how in the world do you get there? Well, Allison is a pro there, because she has worked as an actor for several years and also 650 performances in the Broadway production of Grease. She's a former Woman of Faith dramatist. She's also a current Bible teacher and writer, of course, evidenced by her book, Shine. If you've been listening and you'd like to get your hands on one of those books, well, we would like to get one for you. You can go to myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. There's a spot right there for you to enter your name and your contact information, and we'll do a drawing at the end of the show. Allison, we were chatting a little bit about an exercise that you do, especially with women's conferences, where people bring a word that they feel is just a part of them and exchange it for a word that God uses to describe his children. Tell us a little bit more about that experience.
Yeah, there's a story that just happened, I don't know, it probably happened about 2 years ago, and I shared this story with permission. I have this person's permission, although I do share it anonymously. For obvious reasons that'll become clear. But anyway, we had done the Great Exchange is what we call it, and and the women had come and brought all the things that they carried that were false and laid them on the altar, and then they pick up those, you know, godly names that reflect his nature and his character and his word, and, you know, the whole thing was done, and we had seen some folks come to Christ for the first time, so it was just a wonderfully satisfying experience and event. And I was actually getting ready to head to the airport. I had to catch a flight to get back home, and so we're kind of scurrying and packing up things and saying final goodbyes, and I noticed that there was this gentleman kind of just hanging around the side of the action, kind of in the wings, if you will, and I had noticed him before through the event. He'd been super helpful and, you know, was always the first to kind of rush in and help with the worship team or any need that anyone happened to have. But he seemed to kind of want to stay, you know, in the shadows, a bit invisible. In just a minute, he came over and he approached me, and he was just really emotional, and I could tell that God was working something deeply within him. And I looked down at his hand, and I noticed that he had a name tag crumpled up in his fist, which he had balled around that name tag. I could just see the edges of it. And I don't know how I knew this in the moment, Joe, but I could just tell this name, whatever this was, this false belief, he had just carried this for years, and it was almost as much a part of him as his own given name. And I looked at him, and he was teary, and he had obviously secretly participated in the exercise that I had, you know, really shared with just the women that were there. And I said to him, sir, can I have it? And he looked at me, and he just, again, eyes full of tears, and I said, sir, do you trust me? Can I have it? And he opened up his hand, and on that name tag were two words in scrawled pencil, and it said, convicted felon. And, I mean, I don't know how to explain it, Joe. I just felt Jesus' presence there with us so strongly. And we were both, you know, crying at this point, and I said, hold on just a second. And I went and got a name tag, and I gave him forgiven.
Mm.
And he gave me convicted felon.
Mm.
And I have that name tag to this day. And what's crazy about this whole story was I knew I wanted to share it in the book, and but I could not remember the church. For the life of me, I could not remember the church because I do several of them. I just couldn't remember exactly where this had happened. I had a couple of churches that I called, and lo and behold, I happened to call one of the churches where he actually was on staff at church. We got to talk about that experience, and he related to me that every day that he gets up and thanks God for his job at the church, that he's got the name tag that says forgiven on his dresser as he gets up in the morning. And so that's just the power of doing business with God, with being able to encounter God, because the you that goes into that encounter is not the you that's coming out.
Mm. Just such a beautiful story of how God can rewrite this script that goes on in our mind, telling us who we are, and he gets to, if we let him, he gets to rewrite that for us. And what a great opportunity to be part of that.
That's a joy. Yeah, I mean, I think I said it in an earlier segment, but it feels like for me, you know, all the theater, all the performance, all the kind of public activity, if that makes sense, it feels like all that God has redeemed and reoriented, and that it's for moments like that.
Mm.
You know, it's for moments where God looks at the most broken, painful, shameful, fearful parts of us and says, I have something so much better if you would just open your hand and let me give you the gifts that I want to give, for sure.
You know, in reading the stories and the roles you've been a part of, you make it obvious that sometimes that story God is asking us to be part of may seem obvious to us. And then other times we may see that light that we're supposed to step into, but fear kind of holds us back from doing that. What's been your experience with fear, and how can you encourage those who are listening to be able to get past that, to enjoy that story God's writing on behalf of us?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think that many women do not step out into the light that Christ has for them because of fear and shame. And when my mom was passing away from pancreatic cancer, it was a really, really swift and ugly bout with the cancer. And I had gone home from Tennessee to be with her in North Carolina and was there every 10 days. I had our first baby was only 18 months old, and so I was flying back and forth. And there was one night in the condo where she had loved this particular singer, and so I could tell she was in some discomfort and in some pain because we had found out that the cancer was already stage 4. By the time they found it. And so I had put on this VHS tape, and, you know, usually in the past she had just adored the singer. And I could tell that she was already turning her face toward heaven, if that makes sense, and that the things of the earth were growing strangely dim, as the song says. And I she actually asked me to turn it off. And she looked at me, and she said something I'll never forget. She looked at me and she said, "I could have done so much more with my life for Christ, Allie." And it was one of the most painful but holy moments that I have ever had in my life. And I share that story because I think many of us as Christian women do not step into the light that Christ has for us, onto those God stages, into those real deal Jesus-soaked roles that he's asking us to step into our purpose in, because we actually believe that it doesn't really matter if we do.
Mm.
I think that is a lie that keeps too many of us in the shadows and in the wings when God is saying, it's time to rise and shine because your light has come. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. We don't step into those places because I think somewhere deep inside we believe that it doesn't really matter if we do, because anybody else will do in a pinch.
Mm.
You know, and I think many of us don't really give, this is going to sound a little bit odd, but we don't give God's word the weight that it deserves when he says, no, I'm calling you. I'm asking you to join me in this place. And so when my mom said that, there was something that clicked for me, Joe, for like, I think from here until I see Jesus face to face, and my mother as well, is that it matters that we say yes, no matter how terrified we might be. I don't know that on this side of the veil we're ever going to get rid of all vestiges of fear. What I think will happen is that as we begin to walk toward those roles and those places of influence and illumination and gifting that God has for us, I believe that we get stronger, our sea legs get stronger. I mean, I still feel fear, I would say a good amount of the time, right before I teach. But what I have learned is if I'll just take the next step with Jesus, he will meet me on that stage, and his perfect love will cast out all fear. So I think one of the ways we step into those roles of a lifetime is that we actually have to settle around the issue in our own hearts that it matters if we do. And then I think the other thing that keeps us from stepping out into those roles or into the light that he has for us is that I believe we're so afraid that weakness will be exposed. And here's what I mean. You know, when I was a young kid and starting out as a performer, and I was in musical theater, so one of the skills that was super necessary was a dancing skill. And I just was not a very good dancer. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm lanky. I have hyper mobile joints. So a born dancer I was not. Let's just put it that way. I could move well, but I was going to be somebody that you kind of tried to hide on the back row. And so I'd always been really kind of afraid in the natural, if that makes sense, of stepping out into roles that required any kind of dancing, which is kind of hard if you're in the musical theater. And I can remember auditioning for Grease, and I happened to wind up at a principal call through a lot of God circumstances. And I will never forget the day that at the callback, the director asked me to come out and dance with one other young man who had had a lead in Cats, which is an incredibly difficult dance show, and they were going to have me dance next to this guy. And I can remember my heart was coming out of my chest, and I just thought, great, you know, it's going to be Mr. Can-Do, you know, and Mrs. No-Can-Do side by side. Like, this is it. I am about to be absolutely shamed. And I went through the dance, and I actually did pretty well because I'd been trained in dance for years, and I could get through it, and it was performance-oriented rather than super technical. So I, you know, I put on my best jazz hands and went for it. Mm-hmm. And what is amazing about that is because I was not a great, great dancer, it catapulted me into another category, and they began to consider me for one of the principal roles. Now, I share that because that's what I think Jesus does with our weakness. I think too many of us take our weakness and we hide it off in the shadows. When Jesus is saying, if you would bring the thing that is the most weak and the most wounded about you out into my gospel light, my luminescent gospel light, you will actually find that my grace comes to bear there and that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so it's the upside-down kingdom. It's the economy of the gospel that says, look, the things that you think are the most broken and wounded and weak and weird and wacky and wonky, all the W's, bring them out and let me come to bear upon them. And I think scripturally, you know, we see this in the life of Paul where Jesus says, oh, but my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. And then Paul goes on to say, okay, good, then I'm going to boast all the more about my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I think we do it, Joe, by covenanting within our own hearts that it matters whether we show up to the story that Jesus is writing with our life and that we do not let a little weakness stop us.
Well, and isn't that the only time when we actually reach out and grab for someone's hand, grab for his hand specifically, is when we're feeling like we need it. Being stubbornly self-sufficient is only going to get us so far, but being able to walk that same road with the God who loves us and has made us to be who he's made us to be is really going to get us much further than we are alone.
Yeah, because I think you're so right. I think this journey is a supernatural journey. And so if everything we do is in our own strength and our own talent and our own gifting, well, then we will produce what we can produce, right?
Mm.
But when we step out onto the stage and it's there's a bit of weakness, there's a thorn in the flesh, or there's something that we can't quite do, and he brings himself to bear on it, well, then that's a supernatural display of a God that is active in our lives and in our world. So I think, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Mm. What a great word. I'm talking to Allison Allen today, and her book is called Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. We'll be back with Allison in just a minute. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk, Allison, about maybe spending those years where you're not exactly in the light, but waiting to get there. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to us today. Well, I'm talking with Allison Allen, a gifted actress as well as a dramatist and writer. She's written a book called Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. We do have a couple of copies to give away. If you'd like to get your name on a list for those, you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith, and you'll be able to submit your name and contact information there. Well, Allison, you write beautifully about your own opportunity to play maybe principled roles or to be in that spot. But you also write about spending years as an understudy. In fact, being prepared to step into maybe three roles at the drop of a hat. Talk about that and what it took to be prepared for that constant kind of waiting process. And I had a dad who always said, you know, being successful is just where opportunity meets preparedness. All of the opportunities in the world will never make you a success unless you're ready for them. And I thought what you said had a lot to do with that as well.
Yeah, you know, for my entire tenure of Grease on Broadway, I was an understudy. Like I said, I had a role that I played every night, and then I had three principals that I had to stay prepared for. So you're exactly right, Joe. Like when I wasn't on in my normal character, or there was a scene that my normal character, Gertie, we called her, was not on, I was often in the wings rehearsing, you know, Marty, Patty, Miss Lynch. And actually, I think on four occasions in my two-year tenure, I actually had to go on in the middle of the show. And so one of the roles that was generally played by a woman in her late 50s, and she was about 5 feet tall, at the middle, at intermission, went from that to a 6 foot tall 24-year-old. So, I mean, you talk about being, you know, prepared in season and out of season. That was the very, you know, definition of my life in New York. I am, in terms of understudying, I think one of the things that has changed so much in culture in the last, I don't know how many years, but is that we all seem to be driven to be number one, to be the pioneer, to be the first adopter, to be the first name on the list. And, you know, when I look through the scripture, I just see something so very opposite. I see Elisha to Elijah, and I see Asaph and the sons of Korah to David. I see Joshua to Moses, Baruch to Jeremiah, and on and on and on it goes. And in some ways, we've denigrated the power of a supporting role. We've denigrated being a number two or a number five. And I believe that the Word of God is full of the power of studying under somebody that is more gifted than you might be. You know, when I was in New York, it was a gift to me, Joe, to study under people that had more age, that had more experience, that had been on Broadway longer. I don't know that it would have been God's grace for me to stand in those positions at 23 years old, right out of school. I was like the second youngest person in the cast. And so I think of it much like a shade plant. You know, when you're planting in a garden, you know, when you plant a new plant, for a while, that plant desires some shade. You don't put it into the full sun. You let it have some shade so that its roots can go deep and it's not withered by the heat of the sun. And then as it gets a little bit more mature, then it can take a little bit more full sun. And I believe God is good enough to do that in our own lives. I can remember when I was, I want to say when I was 19 or 20, I did a six-month stint with a missionary organization, and we were in Bogota, Colombia, and then we were in Yugoslavia before it fell, presenting the gospel and kind of in song and ministering wherever the doors would open. And we were in a chapel one night, and they brought in wonderful teachers, and I really wish I could remember this man's name. I would properly credit him, but I just simply can't. But he came into the chapel, and we were, you know, ready to take on the world as missionaries, and he said something that I've never, ever forgotten, and he said, you know, you can never really be fully released into your own vision until you learn how to be faithful in someone else's. And that has ruminated and resonated in my life for years. And I, you know, I think of the scripture, the parable of the minas in Luke 19, where the highborn man distributes his wealth and says, you know, make it work, make this money work. Treat it like you would treat your own. And then when the king returns, he rewards those who've obviously been faithful with his money, and he gives them cities and those kinds of things. But it's equal to the faithfulness they have demonstrated with the king's cash. And so I feel like there is something that we've lost. We've lost our weight. We've lost, by and large, we've lost humility. We've lost being able to place ourselves under somebody and learn from them. When I was, I'm trying to think how old I would have been. I might have been 17, and so I had several leads under my belt, and I was probably thinking I was all that in a bag of chips. You know how you do when you're young. And there was an audition for a show, again, called Godspell. I talked about it in the earlier segment. And I just knew I had nailed it. I just knew that I had gotten the role, and of course, my mom took me up to the cast list, and my name was nowhere on the cast list, and I just completely was in a mope fest all summer long. I was, you know, I'm going to be honest, I was jealous, and I was a little bit overinvested. And I can remember probably about a week before the show opened, I got a call from the director, and in my dramatic mind, I thought, this is it. This is my moment. They're going to ask me to step in and, you know, save the show. Something has happened with the girl playing the role that I desperately wanted to play. And he asked me if I could run the spotlight for the show. And I remember kind of swallowing hard and deciding that, yes, I could do it. And I remember climbing those three levels because it was way up in the mezzanine. And I can remember climbing those three levels and having to, every single night, Joe, train the spotlight on the girl that was playing the role that I wanted. And I see Jesus in that, because I think so many of us don't understand that it is as blessed to steward the light for another woman as it is to stand in the light. And I needed to learn that lesson in humility. The dramatic irony of that is years later, I would play the very role that I had been so desperate to play. And, you know, when I stood in the spotlight playing that same role in a show years later, I kind of understood the story from both sides. And thanking God for the times it's not our turn. I've learned that, you know, encroaching on, you know, the late 40s, like, I've learned to thank God for the times that he says no, for the times that he says it's not your turn, because I see those as protective, and I don't ever want to push past them.
It is hard to do that at the time. It's so much easier in hindsight to thank God for the things that he decided not to send me on. But like we were talking about before the show, what a blessing it is to be part of those backup people who are supporting others in this journey that God has on their life. And as someone who's been on both sides of that, I marvel at how blessed I am to have people who are supporting me as well. And I'm just so grateful that he's given me both those opportunities. And I hope for my kids that they have both of those opportunities as well.
Right. Well, I think there's times we're called to, you know, like I said, stand in the light, and then there are those times we're called to steward the light. And I think when we're completely okay with being behind the scenes, like you say, and shining the spotlight on someone else, and in some ways we could be entrusted with another part of the story. So I think you're absolutely right in that observation, for sure.
Well, Allison, our time is coming to a close here on Connecting Faith. We're so grateful that you've taken this hour to just talk to us about how to shine. Allison's book, again, is called Shine, Stepping into the Role You Were Made For. And Allison, why don't you tell us how we can get to know more about you, if you have a website where people can go?
Yes, it's AllisonAllen.net, and there's two L's in both. And then I believe the book is at Lifeway and Barnes & Noble, and then, of course, Amazon and all the other Internet outlets that you can get the book. So I would love to connect with folks. We try to do a monthly devotional, and so people can sign up for that on the website if they care to. And then it'll also let them know where I'm going to be this coming fall and spring.
Excellent. Well, Allison, thanks again so much. We'll have a link to Allison's website on ours as well, on Connecting Faith. And we hope to have you back on the show again. Maybe if you want to talk about this again, I feel like we've hardly scratched the surface.
Oh, it would be my joy and honor. Thank you so much, Jo.
You're very welcome. And thanks to all of you for listening to Connecting Faith. Have a great weekend.